Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from holidays of radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up later in this hour, it's The Great Gildersleeve, but first, episode 9 of 26 of The Cinnamon Bear. This first heard on December 7th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Now, if you'll all put on your thinking caps, you'll remember that Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear were captured by pirates last time. But these pirates were very different. They didn't make people walk the plank, and they didn't hunt for gold. All they wanted was candy, and plenty of it. Captain Taffy offered to sail them as far as the island of Obi, where the Pelican had dropped their silver star. And what do you think? When they got close enough to use the captain's telescope, they sighted a roly-poly policeman on the beach wearing their star on his chest. Right now, the Susie Q is about to drop anchor, and the children will have their star back in a few minutes. That is, if nothing happens.
Bosun, pipe the anchor.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, my friend, it's been a pleasure to have your company aboard the good ship Susie Q.
Gee, we sure had lots of fun, Captain Taffy.
That's what I say, too. I never knew pirates could be so nice. Did you, Cinnamon Bear?
Bless my stuffings, no. And we're much obliged to you, Captain.
Don't mention it, matey.
I sure would like to know what that roly-poly policeman is doing with our silver star on his chest.
Well, we'll know pretty soon, Judy, because Captain Taffy's going to give us a boat so we can row ashore.
I'm sorry the candy pirates can't go ashore with you, but confidentially, we're on our way to capture a big hoard of yummy marshmallows. I can taste them now.
Sounds most enticing. But marshmallows always get stuck in me fur.
What's this island like, Captain Taffy?
Well, it's a very strange place. Most magical, in fact. Very large and inhabited by all manner of strange people and things.
Gee, I hope we get a chance to see a few things. Are you pirates coming right back?
Just as soon as we capture those yummy marshmallows. Won't take long, and you can give us a signal and we'll take you aboard again. But in case you need to leave the island in a hurry, you'll have the rowboat.
You're sure awful grateful for everything you've done for us, Captain.
Not at all, not at all. The pleasure's been on our side. Are you ready?
Ready and raring to go, Captain.
Very well. Bosun, pipe the boat.
Aye, aye.
Hey, you better let me help you in. There you are, young lady.
Gee, this is gonna be fun.
Yeah, all snug as a bug in a rug, eh? Lower away.
Goodbye, Captain Taffy.
Goodbye.
And thanks a million.
Yeah, much obliged indeed.
Cast off the line. Goodbye, mateys, and good luck.
You take one oar, Cinnamon Bear, and I'll take the other.
Barnaby Bright, strike up a bit of our chanty.
All right, Cinnamon Bear, let's roll.
Weren't they lovely pirates? And Captain Taffy was just wonderful.
A gentleman, I says, a real seafaring gentleman.
Oh, Jimmy, I can see the policeman ever so close now.
Swell. I can't see because I've got my back to him. Are we heading in the right direction?
Sure we are. I can see, Jimmy, and don't worry about it. I got complete control of the boat. Haven't I?
We're almost to the beach, Jimmy. Yell at him.
All right. Wait till I turn around a little. Hey, policeman!
I guess he doesn't hear you.
Let me do the yelling. It takes a big voice like mine to do the trick. Hello, officer! Officer!
And what do you want?
What are you doing with our silver star?
What?
I'll handle him. Hey, you! What are you doing with that silver star?
Sure, and I'm wearing it. What do you suppose I'd be doing with it?
Yeah, but you got no right to wear it.
Oh, haven't I now? And McGorry, who has more right to wear a star than a policeman?
But it's our star.
You bet, and we're coming right in there to get it. Come on, Jimmy. Just one more pull on the oars will scoot us right up on the beach.
What's the matter here? We're stuck.
We don't move an inch. And neither does this wave that the boat is on.
Try again.
It's no use, folks. That's a magic wave. It'll keep anyone from landing in a boat.
What do you mean, a magic wave?
Just that, magic. That particular wave never rolls in. Just stays where it is all the time. You can jump down if you like.
Oh, but it's too far. Most 5 times as high as us.
Or dive in and swim under it.
Oh, never. My precious stuffings.
And in either case, your boat will drift out into the ocean.
Grah.
And you'll lose it.
Grah. Am I mad? Just wait till I get my paws on you, Flatfoot.
That's an insult, to be sure. I'm a roly-poly policeman. And roly-polies don't have feet to be flat.
Well, what are you doing with our silver star?
Yours, is it? And what would it be doing dropping out of the sky?
Penelope, the pelican dropped it. She stole it from us.
Sure, I didn't know that at all.
What do you do, Mr. Fleeceman? Just stand there all the time?
Not at all, son. I patrol.
Oh, lollipops, how can you patrol without feet?
Oh, with a roll this way and a roll that way, I can patrol about 3 feet on either side of me. Not much, maybe, but it's patrolling I am, and I am law around here.
Fuddlesticks, you're nothing but
a... Stop being so mean, Cinnamon Bear. That's no way to get our star back.
I should say not. Mr. Policeman.
Yes, ma'am. What can I be doing for you?
Well, you might let us have our silver star. It's been stolen or lost ever so many times. And we've just got to get it back. It belongs on the tip-top of our Christmas tree.
Sure, and it's sorry I am to hear that. Being meant for Christmas myself, I know how it is. If you'll just come ashore, I'll give it back. Sure enough.
Will you? Honest, Injun? Gee, that's swell. But gee willigers, what about this magic wave? We can't get ashore.
Well, I'd toss it up, but I'm afraid I'd miss. You'll have to row down the beach a ways. They tell me that this magic wave doesn't go more than 100 yards or so.
We'll be back right quick, Mr. Policeman, and thanks ever so much.
Glad to be of service, ma'am.
Now, see how nice he is when you're polite, Cinnamon Bear?
Soft soap. That's all soft soap.
Shame on you.
Oh, let's not fight. Grab your oar, Cinnamon, and we'll get going.
Didn't we? Do you think the boat will be safe there, Cinnamon Bear?
Sure. I fixed it, didn't I?
Come on. Let's hurry and get back to the policeman.
We'll hurry as fast as we can, Jimmy. The sand is awful hard to walk fast in.
Yeah, my cinnamon paws sink down in it.
You know what? I was just thinking about the crazy quilt dragon. I wonder what happened to him.
I wonder. Too bad the pirates didn't take him on board. He sure turned out to be a good guy, saving us from those bad Incaboos and everything.
Maybe you think Crazy Quilt's a better friend than I am, huh?
Oh, no, Cinnamon Bear. You're a really, truly friend.
Do you think so?
Look, we've almost reached the policeman.
He's got his back to us. Hey, Mr. Policeman!
Louder, Judy.
Just a second till I get my breath. Yoo-hoo! Mr. Policeman!
He's turning around.
Hello!
Here we are! Jimmy, look.
He hasn't got the silver star on.
Mr. Policeman, where's our star?
Well, I guess your friend didn't find you yet.
What friend?
Well, the one I gave your star to.
What do you mean? Did someone say you were to give it to him?
He did that, and very polite he was, too.
My goodness, who could that be?
He swam through the magic wave shortly after you started down the beach. First, I wasn't going to give it to him, the star to him, but he told me you were coming right back for it. But he said he knew all about it.
What?
And that you told him to pick it up.
Jiminy Crickets. Who was it?
Faith, I don't know his name, but he was a dragon and looked a lot like a Crazy Quilt.
Garrah, am I ferocious? That Crazy Quilt dragon, up to his old tricks again.
Oh, dear, whatever will we do?
Well, first off, I'm going to push this fat-headed policeman in the tummy.
Oh, don't, Cinnamon Bear.
I got to. It's a point of honor. Watch out, Flatfoot. Here I come. I'll push you flat on your back. That's what. There. And let that be the lesson.
Willikers! The policeman popped right back up again and knocked Cinnamon Bear out.
That's what happens to feisty fellows who forget to remember that when you push over a roly-poly, he comes right back up. Kowowie.
Poor Cinnamon.
Call me early, Mother dear. Call me early.
Shake him, Jimmy. He's coming, too.
Wake up, Cinnamon Bear.
Oh, my poor stuffing. Where's that policeman? I'd tear him limb from limb.
Now, just be quiet. You've had enough.
Which way did the Crazy Quill Dragon go, Mr. Policeman?
Well, I didn't watch him careful-like, not being quick to turn around. But I think he headed straight up the beach that way. Funny, too. Just happened to think, now, that'd be the wrong direction if he wanted to catch up with you. Faith, and I bet he was running away.
Why, you...
Stop it, Cinnamon Bear. You've got no time to fight.
Come on. We'll have to go like the very dickens to catch up with Crazy Quill.
All right, but I'd sure like to take another poke at that celluloid so-and-so. I'd shock him.
Hurry, Cinnamon Bear, hurry.
Gee, I can't see a thing ahead of us. Nothing but sand and sand and sand.
Well, seeing as how you wouldn't let me show you how to finish that pesky policeman, I'll show you how to catch Crazy Quill. Come on.
I'll lead the way.
Look at him go, Jimmy.
I'll say. I never saw...
Jimmy. Jimmy, what's happened to him?
Gee, I don't know. He was running right there ahead of us. And then all of a sudden...
He just disappeared.
Well, what's all this? Everything looks just right for a merry chase after the Crazy Quilt Dragon and the Silver Star, and then Cinnamon Bear ups and vanishes into thin air. It seems that Judy and Jimmy just jump from one difficulty to another. I'll certainly be with you next time to see what made Cinnamon Bear disappear all of a sudden like.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned 2 Yesterday, episode 9 of 26 from December 7th, 1937. When the creator of the series, Glanville Heisch, was a child, he had a stuffed teddy bear he called the Cinnamon Bear. After he had his first child, he started writing a book of poems for his new daughter, with one of them about his old stuffed friend, the Cinnamon Bear. Later, the poem would inspire him to write a 26-part radio series with the help of his wife for the 12 songs included over the course of the 26 episodes. Now time for episode 10 of the program called Professor Whiz, from December 8, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Judy and Jimmy are on the island of Obi, and I must say they're in a most terrible predicament. The roly-poly policeman was perfectly willing to give them their silver star, which he had pinned on his chest, but by the time they rowed down the shore to get around the magic wave which kept them from landing and walked back up the beach, what do you think had to happen? Well, that old Crazy Quilt Dragon, who you remember likes bright, shiny things, got to the policeman first, and off with the silver star. Our three adventurers were hot in pursuit, when all of a sudden the Cinnamon Bear vanished into thin air, just like that.
Oh, dear. Where could the Cinnamon Bear have gone to? He was right here before us just a minute ago.
Well, come on. Let's start looking. I'll go in front of you.
This island of Obi surely is a funny place, Jimmy. Just like the pirate captain told us. That roly-poly policeman and the magic wave that wouldn't let our boat land on the shore and... Jimmy! Jimmy, where are you? Oh, dear. Now he's disappeared, just like Cinnamon Bear. Jimmy, Jimmy, don't leave me all alone. Come back. I guess I'll have to go on alone. Oh, dear. I wish I were home with Mother.
Hey, Judy.
Here we are over here. Judy.
Why, Jimmy. Cinnamon Bear.
We must have crossed some kind of a magical boundary, Judy. I could see you and hear you, but you couldn't see or hear me.
I got so scared.
Well, let's go on now.
Sure. Hey, look ahead to your right a little. There's a house. Maybe somebody could tell us if Crazy Quilt Dragon's been here.
Say, look, Judy. What's that sitting on that post in front of the house?
I don't know, Jimmy.
I do. It's an owl, and he's got his eyes open. I never heard of an owl with his eyes open in the daytime.
Must be more magic, I guess.
Look, he's got spectacles on.
And he's holding a big dictionary under his wing.
He's certainly like no owl I ever saw.
There's a sign over him. Professor Whiz, the educated owl.
Educated? That's why he has that big dictionary. How funny.
Maybe he's seen Crazy Quilt. Excuse me, please, Professor Whiz. But we've seen your name on the sign and...
Saw my name, you mean. To whom?
Well, seen or saw, it doesn't make any...
It makes a great deal of difference. We've seen is a very gross grammatical error. To whom?
Why do you always say to whom? I thought owls always say to who.
Uneducated owls, I regret to say, have fallen into that error. I, knowing my grammar, would not think of saying anything but to whom.
Well, I don't care if you say to whom, whatchamacallit.
We're very anxious to get some information, Professor Whiz.
Yes, we had something awful funny happen to us. We were just going along, and then all of a sudden the Cinnamon Bear here disappeared. Then I went ahead, and all of a sudden I saw him again. But Judy, that's my sister here, she couldn't see or hear either of us, though we could see and hear her. Do you know what makes that magic, Professor?
Oh, indeed I do. That's a very small variety of magic brewed up by the Wintergreen Witch.
Does she live in that little house?
Yes, but she's not home at present. She left on her broomstick only this morning to attend the witches' convention.
Well, why do you suppose she made it so he disappeared like that?
I believe her intention was to keep her habitation invisible while she herself might observe the action and appearance of all strangers in the vicinity. To whom?
I guess she didn't like visitors then.
Such English. She doesn't. Not she don't. To whom?
Do you live in the little house with her, Professor Whiz?
Oh, no, I should say not. Occasionally I give her English lessons, but our association is strictly educational, I assure you. I have never been inside her house. To whom?
It must be funny giving lessons to a witch.
Not at all, my dear little girl. The Wintergreen Witch used only to speak the witch language, which is a very primitive tongue, very. When she came to live on the island of Obi, she found it very awkward not speaking the same language as other people. So, I came to her assistance, and while I must admit she exhibits a deplorable tendency to split infinitives, her idiom is, in the main, correct.
I don't understand what he means, Cinnamon Bear.
He means that the witch is doing all right.
Have you seen a Crazy Quilt Dragon around here anywhere, Professor Whiz?
Oh, definitely. He went into the house just a while ago, asked me if it would be all right if he went in and looked around a bit.
Did he have a big silver star with him?
Oh, yes, I'm sure he did.
Did he come out again?
No, I would have seen him in that event. The Wintergreen Witch says there's only one door, and I happen to be sitting in front of it.
Well, do you suppose there's any place inside where he could hide?
My dear young fellow, I haven't the vaguest notion. I've never been in there, I told you. Besides, I'm much too busy thinking about grammar to fiddle-faddle around.
Do you suppose it'd be all right if we just went in and looked around?
Oh, quite. There can't be anything much in there, but go ahead.
Just wait till I get my paws on that dragon. If I don't make his crazy quill colors turn black and blue...
Dear, dear, such goings-on. I could never remain in this vicinity to witness such banal vulgarity. So, if you will permit me to absent myself from your company, I shall wend my way in the direction of my humble domicile.
Goodness, whatever does he mean?
Oh, he means he's going to shove off. Well, thanks for the information, Profi.
Not at all. Don't mention it. Well, auf Wiedersehen. Adios. De whom, de whom, de whom.
Gee, he certainly talks big words, all right. just like the principal of our school.
Say, if we're ever going to catch Crazy Quilt, we better get into that house in a hurry.
You go in first, Cinnamon Bear. I'm just a teeny bit afraid.
Oh, don't be scared, Judy. This isn't anything.
It isn't locked.
It's only one room. I don't see the Crazy Quilt Dragon in here anywhere.
Let's look around good. He might be hiding under something.
I don't know where he could hide. All there is a fireplace with a lot of pots.
I suppose the Wintergreen Witch makes her magic in them.
My, isn't that a big picture?
It surely is. Takes up the whole wall. My, my. Look at the trees in it. Just as real and lifelike as can be.
Jimmy, I'm sure I saw one of those trees move ever so slightly.
Let's see. Why, you're right, Judy. The leaves are moving, like there was a little wind blowing.
I'm going to look at it closer. That tree near the frame is awful close. I touched it. It's real as can be. This is some more magic, children.
That's where Crazy Quilt went, I bet you, into that picture forest.
Come on, let's go. We haven't any time to lose.
Oh, boy. Hi, Mim.
And me.
This is a really, truly, sure enough forest, all right.
Isn't it pretty, Jimmy?
You bet. Gee, these are awful big trees, aren't they?
Bless my stuffing, yes. And there's an awful lot of places where that Crazy Quilt Dragon could hide. We'll have to look very carefully.
What was that?
It sounded like something moving.
I'll bet it's Crazy Quilt.
Let's be on the safe side. It might be Crazy Quilt, and then again it might be something awful dangerous. Tiptoe.
All right, Patty. But let's look.
It stopped now. Meow.
What was that?
It was a funny little noise.
Why, it's nothing but a kitten.
Meow.
Kitty, kitty, kitty. Come here, little kitty.
Meow.
Gee, it's scared of something.
Oh, don't be afraid of us. We wouldn't hurt you. Come here. Poor little kitten. Who are you, and what makes you so frightened?
Fraidy cat, I'm just a fraidy cat, much more afraid than a kitten should be. Fraidy cat, no man or lady cat ever got frightened as easy as me. I'm afraid of my shadow, it makes me so sad. Oh, I would be a little bolder if I dared. I'm such a shy feline, I'd just make a beeline for the safest place to hide in when I'm scared. Fraidy cat, I'm just a fraidy cat, whining example of what not to be. Fraidy cat, just an old lady cat, sometimes I even get frightened of me.
What are you scared of now, little kitty?
I saw a great big giant a while ago.
Oh, there couldn't be any giants here. Well, you could see them away off if there were.
But this is a magic forest, and you can't see it if you're outside of it. And this great big giant lives outside of it. And I'm so scared.
Maybe she's seen the Crazy Quilt Dragon.
Did you see the Crazy Quilt Dragon in here, Fraidy Cat?
No. Oh, is there a dragon in here, too? Oh, what will I do?
Oh, sure. He's a very harmless dragon. His only fault is that he's too fond of shiny things.
But it's a dragon, and I'm scared of dragons. Besides, I'm black and shiny.
But he isn't a bit dangerous. Not like a giant, you know.
Ooh, now I'm scared again. Meow.
You certainly are a fraidy cat, all right. Better let me get you out of that notion right now. You just got too much imagination, that's all.
Oh, don't be scared now, fraidy cat. Let me pet you a little.
I like you. You're very nice to poor little me. Most everybody else talks loud and scares me.
There now. Nothing's going to hurt you, little kitten. And you won't have to be a fraidy cat anymore.
Try to be like me, fraidy cat. Now I'm just a cinnamon bear with shoe button eyes. But I'm not afraid of anything, even if it's twice my size. Am I ferocious? Hurrah!
But I'm not a cinnamon bear. I'm just a little kitten.
Oh, that's all right, but you should try. Try to be like me, little Kit Kat. Courageous, undaunted, a pillar of strength, a tower of...
Oh, it's that big giant!
Willikers, she's right. Look, cinnamon bear.
there?
Wow, let me out of here. Janeway!
If it isn't one thing, it's another, and this time it's a giant. I'm sorry to say it, but I don't see how our little friends can ever hope to outdistance a giant that's bigger than a house. And I, for one, am going to be right on hand next time to find out what happens to Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday, Episode 10 of 26. A syndicated recording heard on December 8th, 1937. This is an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now, time for The Great Gildersleeve and an NBC broadcast from December 24th, 1952.
Willard Waterman as The Great Gildersleeve. Gildersleeve's town of Summerfield is imbued with all the excitement and anticipation that attends the Yuletide season. There's the hurried search for the last-minute gift, the elaborate preparations for the big family dinner, and people are saying Merry Christmas to people they've never seen before. Some folks like to put up the tree very early and enjoy its fragrance and beauty, but it's traditional with the great Gildersleeve to decorate his tree on the day before Christmas.
Leroy, don't just jump up in the air and toss things on the tree.
Oh, gosh, Unc, it doesn't have enough tinsel on top.
Here, let me hang it up there.
Okay.
I can't reach the top either.
I got an idea.
Oh?
Boost me up to the chandelier. I'll swing past and drop things.
Leroy, you're not a monkey.
But I can do practically anything a monkey can do.
Yeah, well, let's leave well enough alone.
Okay. A tree doesn't need many decorations anyway. Just presents.
Yes, yes.
Leroy, how's your Mr. Gildersleeve doing with the tree?
We can't get enough stuff on the top, Bertie.
Did anybody think about using the kitchen stool?
Why didn't I think of that?
Because you're not as smart as Bertie.
Leroy, that's a risky thing to say before Santa Claus comes.
Oh, hey, excuse me. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. I'll get the stool.
Why, George, he's on good behavior today, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
You think we have enough lights strung on the tree?
Oh, yes, sir. I wouldn't change a thing.
Here's the stool, Unc.
Fine.
It's too bad Miss Marge and Mr. Bronco ain't here this time.
Yeah, but they'll just miss it. That's all.
It's their tough luck.
No mail from them this morning?
Nah. They're not thinking about us.
Well, I'm a little surprised that we haven't even had a card from them.
Well, Bertie better get back to her kitchen. Just because there's only three of us, Bertie's not going to go slow down in the kitchen.
Keen, Bertie.
Yeah, I guess you'll have to, Bertie. I'm up in the tree.
Eggman.
Morning, Miss Cooley.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I came to the front door because I'm not here on business. Hello, Bertie.
Come in, Cooley. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I brought something for your tree. Hello, Leroy.
Hi.
I find it pays to remember my customers this time of year. Hello, customer Gildersleeve.
Hello, Mr. Cooley. That's very nice of you.
What did you bring?
Leroy, it isn't polite to ask.
Well,
that's all right. I brought the water commissioner an egg poacher.
An egg poacher?
That's nice. I always give a lot of thought to my Christmas presents.
Well, thank you very much. Now, let's see what we have for Mr. Cooley.
What are you going to give him, a gallon of water?
You'll have to come up with something besides water. On the farm, we have our own well.
Bertie, where is our gift for Mr. Cooley?
Here it is, Mr. Cooley.
Well, thank you.
I better get back and look at that oven.
The card says, do not open until Christmas.
It's a necktie.
Leroy.
Well, he told us about the egg poacher.
Glad you told me, Leroy. I wouldn't like to lie awake tonight wondering about it. Well, I'll take my loot and go home.
Well, have a nice holiday, Cooley.
Thank you, sir. I suppose you're expecting all the family over for Christmas.
Well, Marjorie and her family are out of town. This year it'll just be Leroy and me.
Yeah, we're going to have a ball, I'll bet you.
It's too bad you won't have all your family together. We're having a house full.
Oh, that's nice.
All of my folks will be there, and there'll be Mrs. Cooley's sister from Kalamazoo and her brother from the Chicago Zoo.
No kidding?
He works there.
Oh.
Well, if you get a little lonesome, Mr. Gildersleeve, bring Leroy out to our house.
Well, thanks, Mr. Cooley, but we'll be fine.
Yeah. Who's going to be lonesome?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, Leroy, I guess the tree is ready.
Unc, why does everybody feel they have to have a lot of people around just because it's Christmas?
I haven't the vaguest idea. I guess they're just not as self-sufficient as we are, that's all. I don't know anybody who's going to have a nicer Christmas. Do you?
Heck no. That's what I've been telling myself.
Right.
Yeah, right. Remember when there were so many of us it took all Christmas morning to open our presents?
Yeah, I remember it well.
But this time it'll be different. I can open a present, you can open a present. Heck, we'll have all that stuff over with in half an hour.
I suppose it would be nice, though, to see Marjorie and Bronco.
Yeah, but if they were here with the twins and the in-laws, what a clam bake.
Well, Christmas is no time to bake clams. Yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I look pretty good. Leroy.
Yeah?
What are we laughing at?
I don't know.
With part of the family away, I guess it isn't going to be much of a Christmas for Leroy. Well, I'll drop into Peavy's and get an extra surprise for him. Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. Merry Christmas.
Oh, a Merry Christmas.
What can I do for you today?
Peavy, what Christmas presents do you have left?
I'm just about cleaned out.
Say, you don't have much, do you?
Christmas business was so good, I dipped into some of my leftover Easter stock.
Really?
I took the cotton tail off the bunny rabbit, put it on his chin, and sold it for Santa Claus.
Peavy, you didn't.
Well, I could. What color rabbit do you want?
No. I'm looking for a gift for Leroy.
I thought you'd already bought him a bike, a football, and new skates.
Yes, but this is a bonus gift. A little something to fill his stocking.
And what about a chocolate malted milk?
Now, Peavy, I'm looking for something unusual.
That's pretty unusual.
Yes. Peavy, come up with an idea.
Well, I presented Mrs. Peavy with a rather unusual gift this year.
You did?
I gave her a train ticket back to her mother.
Peavy.
She wanted to spend part of the holidays back there.
Oh, I see.
Then we're giving our parrot some canary seed for Christmas, but that wouldn't do for Leroy.
Well, I see I'm getting nowhere here, Petey.
Mr. Gildersleeve, in the spirit of Christmas, I'd suggest that you try to find something at Hogan Brothers.
You're not even going to try to sell me?
No, right now all I'm trying to do is to get you out of the store.
What?
I want to lock up for an hour and go hear the choruses.
You all say, they're singing around the community Christmas tree in the square, aren't they?
I'm here to tell you. I just may go down there and help them out a little. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Peavy.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, Christmas.
No! My goodness. Peavy, you're the one who should eat the canary seed.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Boy, look at the people. Hogan Brothers is booming.
Mr. Bentley, hi.
Yeah, I think I'll look in the sporting goods department. By George, I'll find something to brighten Leroy's Christmas. I can get to the counter in this crowd. Pardon me, madam. Miss, coming through.
Hey,
watch that umbrella, lady. I was almost shish kebabbed.
One at a time, please.
Clerk.
I've been waiting.
Oh, no, you haven't. I saw you push through the crowd, pushy.
Now, see here. I'm the water commissioner, and I'd like to see something nice for a boy.
How about a girl?
Smart aleck.
Why don't you just look around? In a moment, I'll be glad to help you. Would you like the gift wrap, madam?
Now, let's see. There's some basketballs, punching bag, table tennis.
Mr. Beckley, Pat! Hey, mister!
Yes, young man.
I'd like to buy this fishing rod.
Well, I'm afraid that rod isn't for a boy.
Well, that's Leroy.
I don't want it for a boy. I want it for my uncle.
Oh.
That rod is quite expensive.
Well, that's okay. My uncle isn't going to have much of a Christmas. I've got to cheer him up.
Well, this should do it.
What a boy.
Let me see how much I got now. $1, $2, $2.50, $75,
$76,
$78.
Little Leroy, spending his pennies on me.
I guess I don't have enough.
Well, we have some cheaper ones.
Leroy!
Hi, Aunt!
Excuse me, there's a lady at the end of the counter waving some money at me.
Aunt, what are you doing here?
Well, I might ask you the same thing.
I asked you first.
Leroy, I know why you're here. I couldn't help overhearing what you said to the clerk.
Well, gosh. Where were you?
Yeah, I was looking at the punching bags.
Aunt, how about having lunch on me? I'm loaded.
You love it. No, lunch is on me, my boy. Come on, we'll shop later.
Hey, that's the Foresters across the street in the square. Let's go, Jim.
You bet. Nothing like carols at Christmas. Group of singers, eh, Leroy?
Yeah, Keen. Hey, look, there's Mr. Peavy over by the platform.
It's a wonder he isn't up on it.
And look, Unc, Chief Gates and Floyd Munson.
Yeah, and there's Dr. Pettibone with his boy home from school.
Looks like everybody's here except Marge and Bronco.
Stiff upper lip, Leroy.
Well.
Shh. They're gonna sing again.
Yes, sir?
Leroy isn't home, is he?
No, sir.
Oh, good.
What you got there, Miss Gillsleeve?
More presents for Leroy.
More presents?
Yeah. Open the closet door, will you, Bertie?
The closet's full. You better dump them here in the den and lock the door.
Yes, good idea. Watch it, Bertie.
Oh, just look at that. What'd you do, buy out the store?
Well, just about.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Leroy.
Kevin!
We better get out of here and lock the door.
Marty, has the postman come around again yet?
He's made two trips, Leroy.
No word from Marjorie and Bronco, huh?
Nothing so far. Of course, you know how the mail is at Christmas.
Yeah, that boy needs cheering up. Leroy?
Yeah?
I suppose you noticed I locked the den door.
No, I didn't.
Well, I did. And don't try to find out why I locked it.
Okay.
Aren't you curious?
Well, I guess it's something you don't want me to see. Oh, can I go down, Piggies?
Yeah, I suppose so. Unless you want to stay here with Bertie and me.
Well, they're having a swell time down at Piggies. They got a house full.
Oh.
So long.
Goodbye, my boy.
Bye, Leroy.
He doesn't seem very interested in his gifts, Bertie.
No, sir.
You got out of the house in a hurry.
Mr. Gilsley, Leroy wants to be where there's something going on.
Well, perhaps I should invite some people over for Christmas.
Now you're talking.
By George, why haven't I thought of this before? Why don't I ask my girlfriend?
Miss Tuttle?
You bet. Her family isn't here. And there's Peavy. He said Mrs. Peavy was going away for the holidays.
Oh, Leroy likes Mr. Peavy.
Sure, we'll have a crowd in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll get busy right away.
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Right, George, this is a great idea. I just wish it was working. Miss Tuttle would be out of town, visiting relatives. Oh, well, it'd be a lot of fun to have old Peavy. Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. Did you find something for Leroy at Hogan Brothers?
Oh, a few things, Peavy, but Leroy and I want you for Christmas.
Do you want me gift-wrapped, or can Santa Claus just drop me down the chimney?
Yeah, Peavy, we want you to come over and spend the day. Enjoy our Christmas with us.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I've decided to go with Mrs. Peavy to see her family.
Oh?
Mrs. Peavy and I wouldn't enjoy spending Christmas apart.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry your family can't be together this year.
Well...
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'll wait on little Mrs. Potter.
Oh? She's still buying every pretty pill she sees?
Just about.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Peavy.
Well, thank you. The same to you.
Merry Christmas, Mrs. Potter.
Merry Christmas. Who is that?
It's Commissioner Gildersleeve.
Oh, it's you, Sonny. I didn't recognize you.
Oh?
My glasses are all fogged up. But you're coming through now.
Well, good.
Mr. Peavy, I'm still looking for a gift for a friend of mine.
You don't say.
She's so hard to buy for. She's never ill.
Well, I don't know what to suggest. Of course, this is the mustard plaster season.
So it is.
If she doesn't use them this year, mustard plaster would keep well.
Well, it is something she could wear, if she's lucky enough. But then, she couldn't show off my gift.
Mrs. Potter, have you thought of a nice atomizer?
That's a thought. I'll take one, Mr. Peavy, if you put a gaily colored gargle in it.
Well, I have several suitable shades. Red, green, lavender.
I'll take the red. It's Christmas, you know.
Yeah, well, I'll tie some ribbon on.
See, Leroy likes Mrs. Potter. She might come over. Mrs. Potter?
Yes, Sonny?
How about coming over and spending Christmas Day with Leroy and me? We got a big tree. We'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve, it's nice of you to think of me, and I know I'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I'm spoken for.
Oh.
The party I'm buying the atomizer for invited me, and I couldn't miss that. Her husband's a doctor.
Well, sorry you can't be with us.
Here's the gift. Shall I charge it, Mrs. Potter?
Oh, would you? I want to hurry back to the square to see the rest of the Christmas program.
Oh, did you hear the choristers, Mrs. Potter?
Oh, yes. And did you see the magician dressed like Santa Claus?
No, I missed him.
He kept making things disappear in his beard.
Yes, I noticed that. He ate lunch in here.
He's so clever.
Yes, he is. Mr. Gildersleeve, he's the same fellow we hired for the YMCA kids' picnic.
Oh, Leroy didn't get to go to that. Say, Leroy likes magicians. I wonder if I could hire him to entertain Leroy tomorrow.
I'll bet if you show him $20, he'll make it disappear.
By George, anything for Leroy. Like a beautiful Christmas morning. You better get downstairs and see what Leroy's up to. Don't think I'll tell him a magician's coming. I'll surprise him. It's awfully quiet downstairs. He's usually whooping and hollering. Am I the only one up? Why, George, this is the first Christmas I can remember that I've been awake before the kiddies. Kitty. What's the matter with that boy? Leroy! Leroy, get up. Confound it, it's Christmas. We better plug in the tree lights. Make it look cheerful in here. You wonder why they always put light sockets behind couches. There.
Martin, Miss Gilfie.
Good morning, Bertie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Where's Leroy?
Oh, he's on the way down. I had to wake him up, Bertie.
That ain't like Leroy.
Well, this isn't like our usual Christmas.
No, sir.
Hurry up, Leroy.
I'm coming.
We've been waiting for you, my boy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Unc.
Merry Christmas, Leroy.
Merry Christmas, Bertie.
Well, now, I'll be Santa Claus and distribute the gifts.
Okay.
Leroy, do you want to be the first and open that big package?
I know what's in it. I can see the bike pedal sticking through the paper.
Is that all you have to say?
Oh, sorry, Unc. Thanks.
Bertie, here's something for you.
Thank you, sir. I wonder what's in here. Leroy, what you suppose I got?
I don't know.
Well, I'll move some of these packages so I can get under the tree.
Oh, be careful of the one on top, Unc. It's a music box. I got it for the twins.
Yeah, I'll be careful of it. Oof, dropped it. It started to play. Maybe I better unwrap it and cut it off.
Oh, that's so pretty. Why don't you let it run down?
What a play, Unc.
Good idea.
That's Silent Night.
It sure is silent around here this Christmas.
No, Bertie.
I sure miss Miss Marjorie and them little twins.
I wonder what they're doing this morning.
Leroy, let's not let it spoil our Christmas. The fun's just beginning.
Who are we kidding, Unc? This isn't Christmas.
Well, just doesn't seem like it because we're alone. I mean, little family isn't all together. Here's another package for you, Bertie.
Yes.
And a big box for Leroy.
Just put it by the bike.
Oh, my goodness.
I sure wish the twins was home to hear that music, Pop.
Please, Bertie, let's not dwell on the subject.
I'm not dwelling on it. I'm just wishing they was here.
Oh, dear.
You know, Bertie, last Christmas the twins were riding me piggyback.
They sure were.
And calling me Uncle Leroy. It isn't every kid my age who's lucky enough to be an uncle.
A lot of good that's doing us today.
Shall we open more presents?
Oh, Mr. Gilsleeve, it ain't just getting presents. It's wanting to give them and being with people you want to give them to.
Well, that's true, Bertie, but...
That's Christmas, and this ain't it.
No, Bertie.
It sure isn't.
Oh, wait a minute. This isn't all there is to Christmas. I have a surprise coming.
Yeah? What is it?
Well, I'll give you a hint, my boy. You know how you've always liked magic.
Magic? You mean I'm getting a magician's kit?
No, you just wait and see. You like this.
I'll go to the door.
No, Bertie. I'll get it. I think it's my surprise.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, that magician couldn't have come at a better time.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Merry Christmas, Unky.
Marjorie. Bronco.
Oh, Miss Marjorie. Yes,
Bronco.
Oh, it sure is.
Hello, Bertie.
Hello, Miss Marjorie.
How is everybody?
Hello. Hi, Marge. Hi, Bronco.
Oh, how's my little brother?
Hi, Bub. Come on in, Linda.
Hey, look at little Linda.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Linda. Well, bless you, my dear.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Linda. Come on, hi, Mark.
give you a horseback ride.
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, boy, what a Christmas.
Say, where's Ronnie?
Oh, he's still sleeping in the car. I'll get him in a minute.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're looking bigger and better all the time.
Well, thank you, Bronco.
Especially bigger.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see you folks.
Oh, Unky, we wouldn't think of spending Christmas away from home.
Oh, Miss Margie, all of you sure are looking well.
Oh, thanks, Bertie.
Well, by George, let's all go in and gather around
oh,
the tree.
Oh, yes, let's do that.
Yeah, we have some presents to put on.
Yeah,
well,
you bet.
Unc.
Huh? Yes.
You sure figured out a swell surprise.
Me?
Couldn't be better.
Well, I...
Oh, did it!
No, I have to, Bertie. Now, how do I make a magician disappear?
Here I am, Mr. Gildersleeve, with my bag of tricks.
Well, here's your money. Why don't you take the day off?
Well, you mean it?
You bet. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Unc, what's going on?
Just a little Christmas magic, my boy. Ladies and gentlemen, the Gildersleeve family and our friends wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Eve 1952 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down for this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Happy holidays.